Call the House Resources Committee to order. In attendance, we have Representatives Gatto, Olson, Ramos, Samuels, Seaton, Elkins, and Leduc. This will be a very short meeting that we have today. Famous last words, right? There will be no economists or lawyers testifying today. We have distributed to the public here, we don't have the CS done right now. It is over at the drafter, and once the drafter gets it back to us, we will probably have the administration, the original drafter of the legislation, go through it to look for any technical changes, not any substantive changes. So we'll have a little bit of time. We want to make sure that when actually CS gets put on the table, that it's the correct CS. But in lieu of that, what we've done is put this series of notes together that goes through the substantive changes that are going to be in the CS. And I can I'll go through the list in just a second here, but I'm going to go into the schedule for a couple of minutes here. At the beginning of the process, before the bill was ever heard the first time, I had made the commitment to both the administration and to the industry players that we would allow them to come back in and comment on the CS whenever it got drafted. And I will live by that commitment. We have been told ConocoPhillips will take us up on our offer to come back in. We don't want a three-hour presentation with drafts and economists. They will limit their comments, I think, to the points that we've changed in the CS. I don't know yet who else is going to take us up. I didn't get to meet with ExxonMobil until this morning, but we've talked to several of the independents and all three of the majors now about so that will be the schedule for tomorrow. I don't know how long it will be, but at 12:30 tomorrow, actually no, 1:15 tomorrow, I have a luncheon to go to. At 1:15 tomorrow, we will have the administration, if they choose to, and any of the major players, if they choose to, come back and comment on the changes to the CS, and we have given them these notes as well. So that will be tomorrow's schedule. We will not do any then amendments tomorrow. On Thursday, we will move into, and hopefully the CS will be able to be distributed by tomorrow morning. We're working, I said, with our drafter as well as the administration to try to make sure that they can comb through this thing and make sure that the details are all right. On Thursday, we'd like to move into any amendments, and depending on how many amendments there are, into committee discussion and possibly move the bill out on Thursday, depending on how those discussions go.
12:30
on Thursday, 1:15 tomorrow. And just so that everybody knows here, this is, and you'll hear this quite a bit from a lot of people here, this is the beginning of a very long process here. We felt that our job in the Resources Committee was to make sure that all of the issues were fleshed out and all of the issues were brought to light. What goes out of this committee, we have no illusions that this will be the final product in this long road. This got to go to the Finance Committee, to the Rules Committee, probably to a conference committee. And I think that at the end of the day, that everybody in the legislature will get their fingerprint on this, or a chance of saying what their feelings are all. And with that, I'll very quickly go through the notes, and then we're going to adjourn. I don't want to have a debate on this CS right now until we actually get the CS in front of us, but I can go through the points. What the co-chairman and myself tried to do is we didn't want to have this, and I hope that the members feel this way. We did not want to have this as Samuels and Ramirez write the CS, hope you like it, good luck with your amendments. We tried to incorporate, as we talked to all of you individually, collectively, on the phone, in person, to make sure that we may not have agreed, and at the end of the day, there's some stuff in the CS which isn't going to have my name on it that I don't really like. But what we tried to do is build the consensus so that the feeling of the committee was going to move forward rather than the feeling of just the chairman of the committee. And we hope that we've done a good job at that. And if you don't feel that way, I hope you speak up to me, not to them. With that, the first thing in the CS is to make the tax rate progressive. And the numbers that we have chosen, that it would go up by 0.3 per hundred, or per dollar increase, after $50 a barrel. And we think that that is a good balance to make sure that we don't have an impact on the economy, but get the advantage of high prices. The second point that we have is we've reduced the transitional money. The CS will allow 75% of 2005 expenditures, 50% of 2004, and 25% of 2003 expenditures to be allowed to be deducted as costs. The original legislation spread that cost recovery over 6 years. We've extended that to 7 years. And the caveat of the price of oil being above $40 a barrel before cost recovery is allowed, we have retained that in, and at the request of the Rules Chairman, the inflation indexing mechanism is not going to be in regulation but will be in the CS, and I don't have which one will be used in front of me right now, but the $40 will be adjusted with inflation. The CS will also extend House Bill 185, which was from the 23rd legislature, which expires in 2007. We're going to extend that tax credit for the explorers on the slope. And the same rules will apply in that bill. The explorer will have to choose between a 40% and a 20% tax credit, depending on some of the other parameters around there. There was concerns about abandonment costs being used for tax credits. There will be specific language in there which says that abandonment costs will not be eligible for tax credits. The CS will set private royalty oil severance tax at 5%. There's a very, very small amount of land, I believe that it's 1%, that is in private royalty, or in private hands, and we set that tax rate. We worked with those holders as well as the industry, as well as the administration, at trying to come up with a number that we thought was fair. AOGA approached Representative Ramis and myself late last week with some technical changes and clarifications. We have incorporated the ones that, quite frankly, that Representative Ramis and myself and Mr. Dickinson that we sat down with to try to explain some of these technical changes to us, the ones that we felt would not be controversial at all to anybody on this committee, we incorporated into the CS. There were some that were policy calls that we chose not to put into the CS, and we have met with finance chairs, we have met with the administration, and we have met with the AOGA people that pitched this to us, and we said it's probably better off to take more time and take those changes to the next committee. Contingency surcharges, there were some concerns about having these deductible and getting credits for them. Currently, there's a 5 cent per barrel charge. 2 cents is deposited into the response mitigation account. That account is, Representative Seaton, correct me if I'm wrong here, is currently maxed out at $50 million?
That's correct.
So the 2 cent charge has been suspended. What the CS will do is make the 2 cent charge, which is currently suspended, 1 cent. So if the account goes below $50 million, the 1 cent charge will kick in again. The remaining 3 cents in current statute goes into the prevention mitigation account, and we have raised that to 4. So the total surcharge is still 5 cents a barrel. The suspended amount goes from 2 cents to 1 cent, and the non-suspended goes from 3 cents to 4 cents. The effective date, I asked the question in committee to why not have the effective date on this bill be like any other piece of legislation. 2 weeks after the governor signs the bill, it becomes law, and I saw the panic in Mr. Dickinson's eyes. And he specifically said, on behalf of the bureaucrats, please put it on a quarter. Don't make it May 13th or some arbitrary date. So what we did is we moved the date to what we feel would be the closest quarter date. As we look down the road, we won't be exact, but what we did is we put it on the start of the second calendar quarter, the 1st of April. Maybe this gets to the legislature before then. Maybe this doesn't get to the legislature at all, but we thought that was a more practical application. Issue 9, which should actually be issue 3. If you cut to it, I think the biggest three issues on here are obviously the tax rate, the transitional money, and the $73 million. I think everything else pretty much pales in comparison to those three. But what we called issue 9 in our notes as we've been working on this through, the $73 million allowance was actually $14.6 million directly off a tax credit, or off the tax bill. And what we did is we lowered that to $10 million, and we switched it to a credit. So the first $10 million that you spent in state is a direct dollar-for-dollar credit. So I think financially for the little guys, it is a bit of a zero-sum game. We cut it down by a third, so they're going to argue a zero-sum game. But we cut it down by approximately a third, and we made it a credit instead of the allowance. Once again, on number 10, at the request of the explorers, we had that the state can buy up to $10 million per company for credits at 100% of the face value. And for anybody that remembers, the credits that were sellable, if there was room under the cap for ExxonMobil or Conoco or BP to be able to buy the credit, they said that the going rate was probably between 90 and 95 cents. And what we wanted to make sure that we did is that the small company recouped 100% of their value. The state's on the hook for the whole amount anyway, so it's a bit of a moot point for us. So we capped this at $10 million. The state can have a direct buyback for as long as the company could prove they were going forward with reinvestment at the same rate. So if we're going to buy a $10 million credit, which is we're on the hook for the $10 million anyway, that the state would just reimburse directly to that company as long as they were going to reinvest, and they'd save a little bit of money around the margins. We were a little concerned about going open-ended on that, not knowing that we got into some pretty big numbers on credits and what the effect would be on the larger players. So we capped that at $10 million. The CS is going to put a 5% penalty for underpayment for the monthly severance bill, any amount below the 90% threshold. That, I think, pretty much is in current law. I'm not sure of the exact amount, the 5%, but currently there's a penalty paid for the underpayment right now also. Interest will be paid on anything below the 100% mark. So with that, there might be some other smaller things on there, but with that, are they going to be the major changes? As soon as we get a CS that we're comfortable going out with and making sure that everything is correct, we will get it certainly as soon as we can to the members and to the public. If we can adopt the CS tomorrow, we'll do that, and making sure that everybody that has a chance for the amendments on Thursday has a chance to get them drafted and articulate their points. There's one, the large issue that which we did not address in the CS was the problem or the situation with heavy oil. And I don't want anybody in the public or in industry to think that we were not aware of that problem. I personally felt that having two tax systems for two types of oil or a graduated scale of the gravity of oil was going to become problematic. But it's something that we could address in separate legislation. It's something that I will continue to work on once this legislation leaves this committee, to try to work with both the administration, with the industry, and try to get something to do with the heavy oil. We realize it's a big problem. We realize the numbers involved for all three of the players, all three of the big players, as well as some of the small guys. And we don't want to send the message that we did not hear those concerns regarding heavy oil. We just didn't find a way to incorporate it into this piece of legislation at this time. And as we go down the road, my more personal note here is, no matter what comes out, I believe some bill is going to pass this session with some numbers in it, and I have no illusions that we're going to pick the final answer. What we tried to do was more focus the debate. Instead of having an open-ended process on oil tax reform, we said we think we should have some element of progressivity in there. There will be debate around the building. There will be debate in the hallway 15 seconds after I gavel this meeting out. And so what we've tried to do is limit the debate and say these are some of the major concerns. I think that the committee has done an admirable job, as the individuals in this committee, as the people that have sat on this committee, Representative Roekberg and Guerra and Bergwitz and Kurtula, everybody who's been watching on TV has done an admirable job of taking so much time to learn what these issues are. So we can all disagree at the end on where this number should be, but I think as we move forward, it's been a pretty good process. The one thing that I would like to shift the debate to, we're about to come into a bunch more money at current prices right now, and if we're I would hope that this would foster a debate on what are we going to do in the future with this money so that we don't just have it sitting out there. What are we going to do if prices go down? Now is the time to start debating. What are we going to do at low oil prices when we're $2 billion in the hole at $20? And what are we going to do at higher oil prices when you get more money than you really know what to do with? We have an obligation in the Constitution to maximize the benefit of our resources, and I have no problem with doing that. But I hope that we've put a whole lot more thought into just the nuts and bolts of this bill, and a whole lot more thought into, as we move into the future of the state, what are we going to do with the money, and how are we going to handle it at other prices. So the schedule, that being said, the schedule, tomorrow we will hear back from industry and possibly the administration. I don't know how many players there will be, but that will be all that's on the agenda. We'll get the CS out, and on Thursday we will go through amendments and hopefully move the bill on Thursday, depending on how the amendment debate goes. Are there any questions on any of this without getting into debate on the substance of these notes? Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On number three, on the exploration enhancement, I just wanted to get a clarification there for the public, because it doesn't say in here that you either get the 40% or the 20. I know it's just stated that, but I just wanted to make sure that that's everybody understands.
Sure. The last line, the company will choose between which credit is most beneficial to them. I can, okay. As this goes forward to the public, we will do that. Also, I could have printed all of 185, but we chose not to do that. So. Are there any other questions on, as we go forward, what's going to be the process? And the debate will be limited to the committee members only, as will the amendments to the committee members only. So with that, Representative Ramos, any final?
No, fine job, Mr. Chairman. It's been a pleasure to meet every day. I just look forward to tomorrow and to, taking the Buzz Lightyear element out of this. Right now it's between the governor's point and to infinity and beyond, and I think we're going to narrow this down to a shoebox-shaped issue and pass it on to finance, and they can decide whether it's a men's or ladies' pair of shoes, and size 7.5, 8.5, or 9.5, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any questions on the process? So you guys are going to have easy. No economists, no lawyers. Okay. With that, we're adjourned.